Hey, what's good, Twitter fam? This week, Just What the Mess's news was not real. Plus, people dug up a 30-year-old tape of Maya Angelou and had some words. Plus, the college cheating scandal everybody's talking about. And of course, the woke segment, right, coming up right after this.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, what up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Black Twitter right here on BHL. Because, you know, if it's Monday, it's Black Twitter Day. I'm your host, Alina Vision, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host.
Hey, everybody, your host, Al Gregg. Just happy to be here with my sister from another mother.
That's right, Al Square.
Al Square.
In the house. Oh, my goodness. How's your week going so far?
My week's going good, and it's been a woke week. We're going to get all into that.
Oh, yeah. Do you got your conspiracy theory?
I got my
theory?
Conspiracy theory, so I'm going to put on like my tinfoil kufi. Y'all been seeing, man. I got all kind of theories going on, but you know, don't discount it.
That's
you got to pay
right.
attention.
It's coming up. It's coming up. All right, so let's hop right into this, because there was a lot of mess going on about this weekend. Jess with the Mess. So Jess Hilarious, comedian Jess Hilarious, got dragged on social media this weekend after she made some pretty hateful comments on her, I believe it was Instagram stories. So long story short, she was on a flight. Supposedly, the flight got evacuated. She claimed it was because of quote-unquote Muslims that were on the plane.
And they were really Sikhs.
God, don't even get me started on that. And she, there after that, made a whole bunch of Instagram stories and pretty much doubled down, I'm sure, after people were calling her out and whatnot. So let's actually roll this. This is a tweet from somebody on Twitter. It says, "Just Hilarious, you are racist AF and sounds so damn ignorant. The Sikh man was minding his business. Is this what you felt threatened about?" Okay, let's roll this tape because this is just hilarious in her own words.
"We're on our flight. Where are you going? Where are you going? If I'm scared, I'm scared. Fuck y'all. Fuck how y'all feel. Y'all mad at me because I don't side with every other black person. Because I don't side with every other race.
I'm mad
because
that face,
I feel how
durag.
I feel. I felt threatened and that was
it.
Fuck y'all. And I'm not flying there. We were evacuated, bitch. Why? Why? With no reason explained at all. No technical difficulties
tired.
Or nothing. Y'all gonna listen to Just With The Mess one day. Because my news is real.
Mm-mm. Oh, back on the same plane.
How ironic is it that we boarded the same plane and I don't see those people? Yeah, we're fully boarded. Yeah.
So she's implying the people with the turbans were not let back on for some reason.
Right.
Okay. It's a mess. And my news, be real. Tune in.
Okay.
Ooh.
This tires me out so much because, God, so ignorant. So, it is 2019. There is no excuse for anyone to be, A, this ignorant, and to think that just because somebody's wearing a turban that they're Muslim. And so what if they were Muslim? They have every right to be on that flight just like you do.
Right.
You know?
I agree 100%. The one thing I think this is, it kind of punches a hole in the hole, I think, like where people assume that intersectionalism is something that's universal because obviously, she's a black woman. People were hitting up like, "You're a black woman. How could you discriminate against Muslims?" And well, the thing is like, I think most people just automatically think about self-preservation in their culture and their people. They don't necessarily put themselves in their shoes. So you can have plenty of like Mexican people, Latino people, prejudice against black people. You have
Which
gay
makes
people.
No sense to me. It makes no sense
in
to me.
In theory, we wish the world was ideal and everybody related as people who have been oppressed or marginalized.
Right.
But at the end of the day, people worry about their own self-interest, and that's why, like, sometimes this intersectionalism thing is kind of a myth. Where I think we're going to get to this in my segment, mm-hmm. I support everybody, but I think sometimes people need to clean up their own backyard first before they can be good partners with somebody else, and that's a whole other topic.
I think everyone just needs to be good partners with everybody else. Because listen, we are this tiny little planet in the middle of nowhere,
Singer girl.
Is all we have got is each other.
I agree.
We are all one race, and that is the human race.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Okay. So let's see what other people were saying on Twitter. This comes from at Dopealicious J. She says, just hilarious, got some Sikh men kicked off the plane because she was scared of them because of their turbans they had on. A black woman has the audacity to stereotype brown men with turbans, all while wearing a headscarf herself. Amen. Okay, so can we stop acting like she's funny and cancel her already? With the gif of, you know, Rihanna giving her side eye. Of course. But this is pretty much like what you were saying. It makes no sense to me how somebody who comes, you know, from any type of category of people who have been marginalized, who have been put down, who have been made to feel less than, can then turn around and do it to somebody else. Like, how quickly you forget.
I think part of that is just the nature of what's been done to black people. You can say our marginalized people, but from my experience, black people, I feel like, you know, ever since slavery, there's been this whole, like, social engineering campaign against us, you know, ever since, you know, Jim Crow. And we internalize a lot of these things. And that's what I mean about we have problems, black people sticking together as ourselves. So, of course, we're going to have problems like partnering with everybody else. And that's what I meant about you can't make a good partner with somebody else until, like, you take care of your own situation. But I agree with you 100%. There's a way the world ought to be. And then it's kind of like the way the world is.
Yeah. Do you think that comedians sometimes, especially with social media, take things too far? Because this isn't the first time that she's had, you know, people call her out. She did make a comment, I believe it was back in last year, I want to say, on the Shade Room's Instagram, where she called some guy the F word. I'm not going to say it.
Right.
but, you know, and she came out and supposedly apologized, whatever, for that and saying she wasn't homophobic and this, that, and the other. You would think that she would have learned from that mistake.
I think you brought up a good point as far as the context of somebody doing it in comedy and art. Because, and this is right. How I feel. See, that, she's just kind of like...
She's sounding off.
Yeah, she's just kind of like being racist. You know, it wasn't, there was no joke there. Just like we were talking about.
She wasn't on stage.
Yeah. That, you know, it's like, okay, and we've heard, you know, the Kevin Hart thing, okay? As long to, you know, do you think it was a joke or not? My whole thing is, you know, if a joke, if there's like legitimate something funny into it, because black people talk about black people all the time.
Right.
It's just when we get in troubles when we talk about other people, even though they let us call each other niggas and all that. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'm saying is that it depends on the context. So I support anybody's right to say it, even if I disagree. You can be a white supremacist. Say all the N-words you want and all that stuff. I want to know who you are. I want your freedom of speech because I want to see you and know you and identify.
I want to see your true flag fly.
Versus...
Okay.
Sometimes we have a lot of these liberals, you know, act like they're your friend and ally. Then you hear and find out other stuff about them. That's me.
Right.
I know my enemies.
The true colors.
Yeah.
Be shown. But at the same time, it's like she has a huge platform. I believe on Instagram, she has like 4.4 million followers. I'm not quite sure how many.
That's
where
I discovered it was online.
Me too. I discovered her too. And I was like, oh, she's funny. And then I saw this and... For me, this was too much.
Hopefully she learned a lesson.
Yeah, I was like, sorry, girl, I can't support this.
I disagree with it. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a satire. It wasn't funny. It was just straight up racism. So
This was a day after 50 people, innocent people in New Zealand were murdered in their place of worship.
Yeah, 50
like,
Muslims,
really?
Right?
Exactly. You're going to come out saying this the day after
the whole world is
mourning and you're coming out saying this.
Yeah, hopefully... I mean, I like to give people room to grow, so I know she's younger than me, so
okay.
She'll learn a lesson and she'll evolve.
All right, speaking of growing, can we go to the tweet? Yes, there we go, because she actually, quote-unquote, kind of did an apology, you know, the Instagram story, here's what I'm saying, blah, 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 apology. So I'm going to read this tweet first. So this is from... At Suskiholi, I believe it says.
I just like the too short
so
name.
Fly, right. Too short, otherwise. All right, Just Hilarious is blatantly ignorant. Laughed my ass off. First off, those were Sikhs on the plane. And besides, had they been Muslims, why would you behave that way despite having Muslims in your family? So she's referring to this. Now, can we click on the pictures? That way I can read the whole thing. There we go. And possibly, yeah, if you could make it a little bit bigger, that'd be great. Oh, there we go. Can't see that. But basically, this is what this was her Okay, that's fine.
Do you want me to take a whack at
it? So here it goes. It goes, look, y'all, I'm not racist, and never have I ever been. We have Muslims in my family. Isn't that like
my best friend?
Well, I got a black friend. We got black people. I'm like, come on, girl, you should know better. All right. However, I was totally unaware of the different types of Muslims. So, yes, I admit I'm ignorant to the facts. So teach me. Okay, first off, Sikh is not a different type of Muslim.
I know. They're not Muslim, period.
No.
She didn't get
it's that. A completely different religion. Like, the fact that she hasn't even gone on Google, you have Google on your phone, you can figure this out. If people are telling you they're Sikh, go educate yourself. Don't wait for Instagram to come teach you. Sorry, I'm sounding off.
Sound off on it. I agree with you.
All right. She goes on to say, I got no one put off the fucking plane. Okay, so she's saying she didn't get anyone kicked off the plane. I didn't even say shit to anyone else on the, sorry, it's really small, plane about that felt. Okay, again, I'm sorry to all Muslims.
Because deeply, she thought they were Muslims in her brain.
Deeply sorry, but I'm not a racist.
Yeah. So. I know there's so much to unpack there. Let's talk about every American family. With black family or not, most family have somebody who's gay in their family,
right,
who might be a different religion. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, I don't know, like these day and age, everybody has somebody of a different culture or different background in their family. I don't know if that's an excuse, but
I don't know. It's not.
I think we're getting there. We just still got a long way to go.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully she'll take this as a lesson and learn and get herself educated.
What's up with a do-rag, though? Why was she? What's up with a do-rag?
Okay, speaking of, look, you know what? Somebody else had something to say about that as well. If we could go to the next tweet. So this is from John Paul Ed. He says, remember, Jess Hilarious, the same tools that are used to keep you out of writers' rooms, out of acting gigs, or even getting a cab in New York is the same tools you use to get those people kicked off the plane. All oppression is connected, sis.
So hopefully she learned a lesson.
Yeah, exactly. But, there was other people, like, making fun of her do-rag. They're like, really, you're going to come at people when you're wearing that do-rag? That is some boldness, sis. Yeah. That is some boldness. But, all right, well, let's move on to the next story. So, Maya Angelou was trending on Twitter this last week, and I was like, why is Maya Angelou, like, she's passed. What's going on? Sure enough, open up, and somebody dug up this old interview. I'm talking, it must have been 30 years ago.
I already know when you're digging up an old interview.
Yeah, exactly. And we can't show it, for copyright reasons, but to give you the gist of it, like, just imagine, okay, remember when Oprah first started, like, her set? Okay, think that, but it wasn't on Oprah's show. It was on some other show, like local news, I believe. But this girl in the audience, and I think she was probably about 14 years old, stood up to ask Maya a question. And she started the question saying, Maya, not saying, like, you know, Mrs. Angelou, Miss Angelou. So Maya, real quick,
she had to put her check.
Real quick, had to read her. And she said, listen, honey, you cannot call me Maya. I am not your sis. I am either your mother or your auntie. I have lived 65 years on this earth. I have paid my dues. You need to show me that reverence, right?
Yeah.
So some people on Twitter, like this guy, I believe this was, this is @Derek. He said, Maya Angelou did not have to read that innocent girl down on national TV like that. But it spawned a lot of people saying, like, no, Maya was in the right for saying that. What do you think?
And I think you hit the nail on the head, because this girl, you know what she strikes me of? I don't know what her race is, the girl who was.
So she was just black.
Okay, yeah, she could be black. She could be a black millennial, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And part of my problem is I think millennials miss a lot of things. They just assume this familiarity.
See, it was a lot of millennials that were saying, like, what's the big deal?
Okay, they don't know that black people, that old black men will call boy and old black women will call girl to disrespect them and keep them in place and keep them in line. They wouldn't treat them in a address them as an adult. So those titles mean assign a lot of respect, and there's something that's very that we're very sensitive to, and that people, you know, if they want to be respectful, they should read up and know why. Just like we're telling Jess Hilarious, if you're a millennial and you don't know why it's more important to address an elder by their last name or by the title, read up and find out, because there's a lot of racial history behind it.
Right, and it's just like, I think, like, in all black families, not all maybe, but I know in mine, I was taught, like, somebody older, even if you don't know they're married, it's Miss.
I can never call somebody older by their first name.
No, never. My mom would come at me.
That's what I would get.
Exactly. All right, so let's see what other people on Twitter were saying about it. This comes from @ Erin Bennett. She says, a lot of people are saying how Maya Angelou addressed the situation was disrespectful, and I don't see it. Out of respect for her work, her title, and the legacy she created, yes, it's Miss Angelou to you. The power dynamics are clear. I ain't your colleague, sis.
Bam.
Yeah, I completely agree. And especially because Maya's such, like, an iconic figure at
that. A legend and an elder?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think about
it? She's like that elder. It's like, maybe because somebody I think maybe a little bit comparative, would you say, would be Oprah?
Probably.
Right, for different reasons. Yeah. But maybe because we're so used to just calling Oprah.
Yeah.
Millennials don't see that.
It's definitely a generational thing. That's why I try not to judge people too hard.
Right. So Common, of course, had something to say. And I loved this. So this is actually one of Maya Angelou's poems. He says, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air,
I'll rise. I remember that. Did you have to say that like in elementary school or high school?
Yes, with a picture of Maya.
Yeah.
She is. She's like everyone's, like, you know, Nana.
she's the elder. Yeah. And, I guess what I like about it...
That's the girl. That's the...
Okay, yeah.
But yeah.
She was the millennial from her generation.
Exactly.
Yeah, she just didn't know.
Exactly. She didn't know. I think... And when you're in a position like that, you might be a little bit nervous to be on TV and to also be in front of Maya. Uh-huh. And it's just like something you just say.
Yeah. I don't believe she meant it, you know, to be disrespectful at all.
It just came out that way, I think. Yeah. Obviously, but it was just really.
It reminds me, like, my grandmother would school me, boy, what'd you say? Yeah. You know, something like that. That's the way black women, you know,
they are.
That's the way they check you.
Absolutely. My mom does that to my littler cousins and stuff like that, too. It's just
how'd you dress me?
She'll grab your ear real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah, so we know what she was saying.
All right, and Angela Ray, who we all love, says only a queen like Miss Angelou could get you together real quick with no hesitation. But yet so much grace. Respect your elders, kids.
And it's funny that her words still echo, like, from the grave. You know, still she rises, like, her legacy rises on what she taught us.
Exactly.
So shout out to Angela Rock.
Exactly. All right. So, moving on.
What's up next?
The college cheating scandal.
Oh, that one. That's a juicy one.
Because Black Twitter had a lot to say about this.
A field day with that.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. All right. So for those of you, if you've been living under a rock, I will briefly go on to explain what happened. So this last week, the FBI did a whole lot of indictments. I think there was like 50 people that were wrapped up in this whole college entrance exam cheating, like trying to get your kid into college scandal. A couple of Hollywood starlets were caught up, Lori Loughlin and Felicity, what's her last name,
Huffman?
Yes, Felicity Huffman, thank you. And a lot of other, like, real estate, business moguls, all this, paying extreme amounts of money to get their kids
into. I think almost too much money, at least for USC.
$500,000 for USC.
And you don't have to have good grades to go to USC. I went to USC and I had good grades, but you don't have to have good grades to go to USC.
Now, how did you get into USC?
Well, because I came from Berkeley and I had a 4.0 that I graduated with, and I went to the graduate film program.
There you go. Yeah. So, see, you did it the right way.
But yeah.
The old-fashioned way.
Hey, leave them poor, rich, white people alone. The poor rich white
people. What's so crazy is just like you guys have all the money at your expense to get the tutors, to get to do the work. Like I
But Alina, are you surprised? Tell the truth. That rich people of means are able to bribe their way into institutions.
Yeah, they've been scamming the system for a long time.
The water is wet. The sky is blue. Rich people get favors and get to buy their way into things. Nothing's new.
Right. Rhymed. Did you just come up
with that? No, I guess so. I didn't know. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Spitting bars.
That's right. Okay, bars.
So, right. Like you've been saying, this is definitely nothing new. A lot of people normally give money to the school in terms of, like, for a new library or a new building.
Yeah, that's the right way to bribe somebody.
Right, but in which other students also will benefit from that. Okay. But it's still not right that your kid is able to get in that way just because of that. But there's people out there who have done a lot less and who are probably going to have a larger sentence than these people will because just... We know they're probably not going to serve much time. It's just they have the money to buy the legal defense.
That's part of the privilege.
It is. Exactly. It's just this never-ending cycle.
Somebody in their family might be a judge or, like, work in the, you know. The judicial...
They're connected.
Yeah, connected.
They're connected. All right. So on Twitter, this is what Bishop Talbert Swan had to say. And this is actually a really interesting thread that went viral. So he says, remember Tanya McDowell? She got 12 years for sending her 6-year-old son to Norwalk, Connecticut's Brookside Elementary School while she lived in Bridgeport, even though she was homeless. She was convicted of first-degree larceny for stealing an education.
What? I don't even remember this.
Yeah. Oh, it goes on. It goes on. If you can keep scrolling in the booth there, I think there should be another tweet underneath that. Correct. Here we go. Remember Kelly Williams Bowler? She was convicted of using the wrong residence to get her daughters into a better school district in Ohio than underperforming Akron. She was sentenced to 3 years in order to pay $30,000 to the school district. These are both black women, for those of you who cannot see.
For using an address.
And I know people who do that. Everybody does that.
White people do it. Everybody does it all the time.
But she got accused of, quote unquote, stealing an education. How can you steal an education? Unless these people who just got caught, they're stealing an education because their kids took a spot away from somebody who actually deserved it.
They are, and they did.
Yeah.
And
I hope we see some type of sentence.
You want them to make
like
an example
this.
Of these mamas.
I think so. Otherwise, it's like, when is it going to end? They're just going to, rich people are going to continue. They're going to find another way to do this.
Right.
So, yeah, here's some more people on Black Twitter. This is from Raquel Willis. She says, shout out to all the black students and students of color who have been, what is it?
Harangued.
Right, by their white peers about affirmative action.
That's what white people, and I'm not talking to all white people.
No, not all. The
minority of racist white people out there are just, and black people can be racist too, as we discovered.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
What people don't realize about affirmative action, it wouldn't be taking somebody who was unqualified and putting them in a spot that they didn't deserve.
Right.
It would be taking two people with the exact same qualifications, and then you're looking at the other challenges, the other things this person had, their life, their culture, their background, economic challenges, but two people who are equally qualified, affirmative action tells you that to make your choice based on that. And it's not like letting somebody who didn't deserve it in.
Yeah. And it's like the people who say, oh, you know, down with affirmative action because it's taking my place. Okay, so just because you're inherently, your skin is white, that's your
That's
place.
Affirmative action. That's
exactly.
privilege right there.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Don't get me started.
I know. But it was just, it's very, very interesting to see. So this is another tweet. This is from Nia Reed. She says, remember these Atlanta teachers and principals that helped eighth graders standardize tests?
Remember it.
20-year sentence for some of them.
What?
We're watching.
What?
Yeah. So that was a 20-year sentence.
I remember that scandal.
A 20-year sentence.
And can I say this? As a teacher, this is why that cheating scandal is so hypocritical, because as a teacher in LAUSD in a past life, I was a teacher for 10 years. The whole thing has been transitioning about to making kids perform well on standardized tests.
Yeah.
And so you develop all these, quote, strategies, and they call it teaching to the test. Now, you're not supposed to cheat as a teacher, but you're supposed to teach the kids certain strategies and ways to take the test. And believe me, there was a lot of emphasis on how to take the test strategically. Uh-huh. And it was basically, I don't want to say it's... Well, it's rigging the test, but some people could say it's playing it very close. So I feel like the districts put so much pressure on these teachers and these students to score well on these standardized tests. That's part of what's become of the education system.
Which is, yeah, that's a whole nother show.
A whole nother topic.
My goodness. All right, so we're going to roll on right now to the woke segment. What you got for us?
The wokety woke segment. I got so few time, but so much wokeness to talk about.
There's your theory.
I even got my conspiracy wokeness in there, my conspiracy theories. All right, the first one we're going to start out with, number one, is did Taylor Swift weaponize the Me Too movement in liking this post about Kanye, or was it fair game? So let's throw this post up here. By the way, this girl, The Hill Stand, added Sagittarius Snake. The famous music video was straight up revenge porn, not to mention putting abuse victims next to their abusers, talking about the Kanye video with all the new bodies, and celebrating sexual assaulters. It was disgusting and doesn't get enough crap, and he doesn't get enough crap for it. Okay. And then, as we know, that heard that Taylor and Kanye had been beefing, and she actually liked that post.
Okay.
So my question is, if you guys, I'm going to take you guys back to the famous video. Kanye did this video where it's him naked, Kim naked.
Donald Trump's in there,
there. Taylor, who he was supposedly beefing with. Ray J, who he didn't even get along with. But his point was, I guess, was make an artistic point that, like, we're all in the same bed together as far as, like, being exposed in the sex tape era that we live in. But my question to you, did you take him depicting Taylor in the video? By the way, he got permission to get to even put her in the song and in the video. He called it. That was a whole other thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's a whole other thing. But the point is, do you think that was first, do you see any abusers in there? And do you see any victims in there?
Trump.
Okay, yeah. But who was it? That's a good one. That was a good one. I didn't think about him. But he wasn't depicted by anybody he abused. I didn't see that. The way I took it, I thought she was trying to say that Kanye was somehow an abuser. And that's what this commenter is saying, that Kanye is somehow supporting, like, sex abuse by doing this false depiction. And it goes back to that whole thing, the struggle against freedom of speech and art, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I don't think, you could say the video may have been poor taste, but to, like, try to weaponize it and, like, hit the little Me Too hashtag on it, I think that's foul.
Interesting.
So, ladies, I'd be interested in your point of view. Oh, and then let's get to the whole, now we got the whole Kanye Sunday service thing. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah, that's been a thing.
It's been a thing. Kanye's back to doing music, and if you guys don't know about it, we're going to show you some clips, but he's doing, like, this big Sunday service church
that
theme.
That first clip, I was
choir.
Like,
it looks dope.
This shit's fire.
It looks dope, and
like
it looks
that,
like,
I was like, I want that track.
Because, like, we're taking us back to, like, the old Kanye Jesus Walks days.
Yes, yes.
But there are people who may think that Kanye is trying to usurp the Christian church to sell his music, because they're singing all Kanye songs in there. And I'm like, wait, Kanye try to usurp any movement to sell anything?
No.
Like Yeezys? Anything like that? And weaponize,
what?
You know, is mental illness to get you to buy something? Kanye would never do that.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
Let's look at the tweet that this girl, Anna, posted. Thoroughly bothered that people think whatever Kanye West is doing for Sunday service is God-honoring. Looks like some weirdo stuff to me, and I don't hear the gospel being preached. Just a bunch of people singing Kanye songs. Hashtag Sunday service, and I like how the little white girl wrote, stay woke, hashtag stay woke. So tell our engineer, let's go to the videos. And would you scroll down if there's any sound for it?
Oh, yeah, DMX was with him.
DMX, I guess, performed at one of the services and did a prayer.
And highly favored by you, I am the object of your affection. Your favor surrounds me as a shield, and the first thing that people come in contact with is my favorite shield. Thank you that I have favor with you and man today. All day long, people go out of their way to bless and to help me. I have favor with everyone that I deal with today.
DMX.
Doors that were once closed are now open for me.
Every album DMX has a prayer on it, too.
Will he withhold from me?
I'm like, when's the beat going to kick in?
Right?
It's taking a while. I'm waiting for the beat.
You know, let's just wind this on up. Thank you, Jonathan, for showing us this.
Oh, that's a long one, yeah.
Yeah. And we like DMX, and we're glad. And DMX is always, every album he's had, he's talking about a spiritual struggle, like, between God and all his demons and stuff. So I like that. But getting back to the whole Kanye thing, because Kanye songs, I don't know if they were only Kanye songs, but because Kanye songs were used in these these concerts, these service, do you think is kind of self-promoting?
Everything he does. He's married to a Kardashian. Yeah. Everything they do is self-promoting.
Yeah,
exactly.
Kim posted this.
Yeah. They had their daughter North there, like, dancing.
Thank you. So everything is self-serving.
It is self-promotion. Look, if he is, like, getting right with the Lord and he's finding his, you know, spiritual self, like, amen, bless him on that. Go for it, homie. Mm. But should you be kind of exploiting all that? No.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know. I kind of feel a little.
And the thing is, Kanye has lost so much credibility with this. It's hard for us to give the benefit of the doubt. Somebody else might give the benefit of the doubt. Kanye might not give the benefit of the doubt.
Right. I mean, but listen, those tracks sound like fire.
They sound like fire. We get some new music.
I'm being real honest.
All right. Well, let me get down to the last part of this woke segment, and you can definitely start my conspiracy music on this one because this is the conspiracy corner.
All right. Let's hear it.
Are the police taking out Black Lives Matters activists? Six black men related to the Michael Brown protest in Ferguson were found suicided in suspicious conditions.
Huh.
So, ladies and gentlemen, while we pull up the CBS article, I'm just going to read to you guys a little bit. We all know that what happened to Michael Brown, right? He was an unarmed black man who was killed by a police officer. St. Louis County Police spokesman Sean McGuire said witnesses have simply refused to come forward, leaving detectives with no answers for why the men were targeted. Let me get down here. A grand jury declined to charge Wilson, that's the white cop, in November 2014, prompting one of the most violent nights of demonstrations and one of the first activist deaths, DeAndre Joshua. I love that. DeAndre Joshua, his body was found inside a burned car blocks from the protest. That's just one.
Okay.
The 20-year-old was shot in the head before the car was torched. I guess the DNA evidence proves that. Darren Seals, shown in the video comforting Brown's mother, which is, I guess, is up in the on the CBS article, that same night met an almost identical fate. 2 years later, he was burned, torched inside a car, shot in the head first.
Who do you think it is?
The police. You know me.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm asking.
The feds did this, and this is payback. They've been trying to get back ever since. The thing is, Ferguson, let me address everybody in my woke camp. Ferguson has had a history of targeting black people. They said they gave like black people like 80% more tickets and pulled them over and jailed them more than they gave white people. And that was just, it's just a racist place. And I think this is their way to try to like get the balance back, take out all the alpha males.
Weren't they supposed to have more people from the community become part of the police? Just like all of the police.
Supposedly they did more
police
training, more cultural sensitivity, all that. Yeah, I mean, all that, but apparently, I mean, that's
not. There clearly has been no inroads.
I'll put it this way, Alina. I think these rogue cops are going to always exist. I mean, the police department is like a gang. I love the police. Shout out to all the good police who serve and protect.
And there are a lot.
And there's a lot of crooked police, and there's a lot of racist police who look at that thin blue line like they're a gang. Doesn't matter right or wrong. You're protesting us, we're going to take you out. Let me read the other names. Marshawn McCarroll of Columbus, Ohio, shot himself. And I say shot himself in quotes. In February 2006, outside the front door of the Ohio State State House, police said he had been active in Ferguson. First of all, the numbers of black people that commit suicide is so low conventionally. Black people, we have a high murder rate, and we kill each other. But black people don't actively, shoot each other or put a noose around our necks. We kill each other the slow way, maybe through drugs and alcohol. Let me keep reading. This is why I think all this stuff is staged. Edward Crawford Jr., 27, fatally shot himself. Fatally shot himself after telling acquaintances he had been distraught over personal issues, police said. A photo of Crawford firing a tear gas canister back at police during a Ferguson protest was part of the Louis Post-Dispatch's Pulitzer Prize-winning coverage. I got to shout out to this brother. Okay, whatever Crawford did during the protest of Ferguson, they shot a canister of tear gas at him. He picked it up and threw it back at the police, which I think is like, that's the kind of brother. We need people, instead of being internet gangsters, like that's somebody who like ride and die for the cause.
Internet gangster.
But anyway, but shout out to him. But there's a lot, that guy, he couldn't find money for his health bills. He was depressed about it. Where'd all that money to Ferguson go? Where'd all that black monies go? Don't get me started.
Sean King and D-Ray, all
that money you guys raised, this guy couldn't even find hospital help. And they have problems, for his funeral. Last one. October 24th, 24-year-old Dane Donya Johnson, Danya Jones was found hanging from a tree in the yard of his North St. Louis County home. Hanging from his tree. They called it a suicide.
Come on now. Yeah.
Enough said. So black
Interesting.
People.
Interesting. So this is on CBS.com.
Yeah, it's on CBS.com. But if you can go to the other tweet that I have after that, Jonathan, it shows you the brother.
Real quick.
If you're following the hashtags, there we go. Follow the hashtag Ferguson. And then under this, if you go to the hashtag Ferguson on Twitter under popular resistance, here's where this one brother talks about it. Activism always comes with some stress and tension. But activists in Ferguson face more than most with suspicious deaths of numbers of activists. A sense of dread about the immediate future weighs in on many people's minds. And, like, we're talking about their families getting death threats and all that. So, truth be told, folks, I don't put that in conspiracy theory. To me, it's very clear that it's a concentrated effort. That's something going on.
Something going on. Well, thanks for bringing that to light. And if anybody wants to read more about that, like Al said, follow the hashtag.
There you go.
Ferguson, and check out CBS.com. If it's on CBS, it's probably on other places too by now.
It's finally going mainstream.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So that wraps up this episode. So where can the good people find you? Oh, sorry.
No, that's just as you the good people.
I was like a waitress.
The good people. I got to plug my wares,
yes,
everybody.
Plug
the good
it, plug
people.
It.
You know what?
He's got merch.
I got merch. You guys heard me plugging my film, Jamaica House All Month. And thank you for Alina for letting me plug it.
Of course.
Okay, I want everybody to go out and get a Jamaica House t-shirt, the Tupac special, and you can get it on Esty.com. All you have to just put in is Jamaica House or a Jamaica House t-shirt ring, and you'll get these nice t-shirts for $25.99.
Support the brother,
yeah,
okay?
And it goes to the good cause.
All right, and where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamaica House Doc and on my IG, Algie_Jamaica House. And shout out to my boy Indy at, what is Indy's new thing right now? Novelty Soundbites. You can get the t-shirts link there too.
Cool. And, you know, you guys can follow me on all social media at Alina Vision. And this is actually my last show.
No!
I know. I'm not going to be here anymore.
Alina, so what's going on? Why aren't you going to be with us anymore?
I got a new gig. Not going to say what it is yet.
Okay, don't jinx
but,
it.
But, yeah, I'm really excited about it. Uh-huh. So that's
for those
the
of
deal.
You who don't know, what's obvious, Alina's immensely talented.
Aww,
she's a producer, a filmmaker, music. All around in her own right. This is just a taste of what she does right now.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah. But I'll pop back in from time to time because I love this show.
Hope we'll keep this on. Hope we'll keep this show going, okay?
Yeah, of course. You can tune in and see Elle and whatnot. But, yeah. It's been great. Mm. Always have fun. Love our fans. Love the people in
love
the comments
Love you guys. Thanks
section.
Everybody who commented.
Exactly. So, okay. Until next time. Peace.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.